The responding officers has been charged in her death. But now, state legislators in conservative Kentucky, which has seen continuous protests since the killing, have advanced a law of dubious constitutionality to make it illegal to say bad things to a police. The bill that the Kentucky Senate passed recently makes it a misdemeanor to taunt a police officer with words or gestures that would have a direct tendency to provoke a violent response from the perspective of a reasonable and prudent person. In the past, state juries and the U.S. Supreme Court have cited the First Amendment in finding that it's not a crime to say rude things or even curse at a police officer. But now, the Bluegrass state is saying that if you flip the bird at a cop and he tries to bash in your skull, the whole thing was your fault. Although the anti-taunting the police provision garnered the most headlines, the Kentucky bill also expands the definition of illegal protest while strengthening the penalties for rioting and making it harder to get out of jail. And it even includes some vague language intended to thwart the defund the police movement. If the bill passes the state house and is signed by the state's Democratic governor Andy Beshear, an uncertain prospect, it would surely put more people behind bars for protesting the killing of Taylor than people who actually killed her. In a vacuum, this alone would be outrageous. But instead, after a decade in which more Americans protested more things, from Occupy Wall Street to Ferguson to the Women's March, the George Floyd protest, than any time since 1960s, the Kentucky scheme is just the most extreme example of a flurry of bills meant to criminalize your right to air your grievances against the government. A bill in Oklahoma, for example, would protect drivers who plowed their car into a crowd of protesters and make it illegal to post information about law enforcement officers online, which, as critics noted, might criminalize videos like the ones that showed the world what happened to George Floyd. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, considered a GOP presidential frontrunner for 2024 if Donald Trump doesn't run, is pushing legislation for steep felony sentences for those found to be rioting, and to shield people who shoot protesters or run them over from lawsuits. The International Center for Not-for-Profit Law said recently that 23 states are considering 48 anti-protest bills so far in 2021. That includes four states looking to join 14 others that have declared oil and gas pipelines and other fossil fuel facilities as critical infrastructure, which would mean stricter penalties for protesting them, a movement that started after Dakota Access actions in 2016. Additionally, some leaders in both parties, even President Biden, are citing the January 6th assault on Capitol and calling for harsher penalties, including new laws against domestic terrorism. But critics say that even well-meaning efforts to quell certain kinds of dissent have a way of backfiring. But by using the domestic terrorism label to promote more criminal statutes and police authorities, our country's leaders are invoking systems that have been and will continue to be used to target and harm black and brown people, wrote Haina Shamsi. director of the ACLU's National Security Project, and Munar Wahid, ACLU Senior Legislative and Advocacy Council. The bigger picture is that even in a time of optimism over increasing coronavirus vaccines and a generous $1.9 trillion relief package signed by Biden, lawmakers are using false narratives about protests, which have been overwhelmingly peaceful, to pass laws they hope will make many folks, including ones who seek to protest police violence, white supremacy, or climate change, to simply stay home. Citizens in the affected states need to get out and fight these anti-democratic measures while they still can.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are mostly based upon the book, Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. We have in the studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdar. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Salaamu Alaikum, Brother Miqdar. How are you?
Alaikum Salaam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
So, dear audience, in the previous program, we were discussing about a question that where mother is asking. I enrolled my two boys to gymnastics a few months ago, and they were doing really well. But all of a sudden, they lost all motivation for it. I don't think anything specific happened, but they just don't want to go anymore. My children are 7 and 5. What do you advise me to do? So we're talking with Brother McDodd, and he has given us some good points. Brother McDodd, if you don't mind, I'll quickly ask a question. Do you think that is there any role of the gymnastics center they go to? Like, they can do something so that the children stay motivated.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, so we will talk about the events that could have happened that the child lost motivation. One of them, as you mentioned, could be the center itself, could be the teacher itself, could be the peers that are there that the child is doing gymnastics with.
Yeah.
So all these different factors could have an impact on the child's motivation. Inshallah, we'll tackle each one of them slowly. Before I go on to that, I'd like to come back to something I said on the previous show, which is that when a child loses motivation, comes home, says, I don't want to do this ever again. I'm not happy. It's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of parents might think that, you know what, my child's happiness is very important. My child should listen to whatever my child says. And therefore, that's it. Okay, you don't have to go about it anymore. Don't worry, I'll call the center tomorrow and we'll cancel our subscription. I don't think this is the way forward for many reasons. A couple of them is that, first and foremost, you have to realize that children make decisions very, very quickly. It's possible that
like they don't think about it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's possible
the consequences
that it's very possible that the same child, you're going to call the center, cancel the subscription, the next day he's going to wake up and be like, I want to go gymnastics,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
So don't quickly jump to conclusions. And secondly is that we need to teach children about perseverance, which I talked about in the previous show as well. And you realize that if we were to cancel and just do what children say so quickly, then children don't learn any sort of patience or appreciation. And what will happen is that slowly they'll just never be content with anything, because everything will be just as a matter of a trial thing. You know, when you go to a buffet, for example, a big restaurant, you've got 25 different plates out there of different types of food to eat. You can pick and choose from all of them, basically, right? And you go to the first plate, there's some nice chicken, I don't know, chicken curry. You take some of that, okay? But you just take a little bit to taste it, because you know that the next one might be a bit better.
Yeah.
So let me try that one then. And you try that one, then you try every single bit of them.
Yeah.
You're never going to be full. You're never going to enjoy a proper meal, okay? Always hoping that there will be something else that will actually make you taste, that will actually taste better or make you more, you'll enjoy it a bit more. Those kind of people, they're never stable in their life. They're not content. They're not ready to bear the difficulties to appreciate what they have. Always looking for the grass that might be...
So they're always in search of a thing that can give more joy to them.
Exactly. The grass might always be greener on the other side.
Yeah, it's true.
One of the things you want to teach the children is that, no, right now we've subscribed to gymnastics. We made a decision that it was a good thing. We made the decision together. So it's very important when you make a decision with a child. Make sure the child is involved as well. Even if it's a five-year-old, tell the five-year-old, we think gymnastics is nice. Would you think, let's just try it. Let's go together, try it. And then before you sign it, decide together. Are you ready to do it? This is what the consequence of this is, that we have to stick to it. And when you've decided that, then you teach the child that now that we've decided, we'll have to bear with it, even though it's difficult. This somehow teaches the child to be content, to appreciate what they have, right? Even though at time we have ups and downs in how much we enjoying it or in our motivation, right? This is fundamental. Unfortunately, you see this in adults as well. In their spirituality, for example, they listen to a lecture or a motivational speaker and suddenly they want to try reciting a particular Quran verse, for example, or recite Salatul Layl, for example. Right? And they do this for a few days or a few weeks, and then as soon as the motivation goes away, they just abandon the act altogether.
It's just a spark at the moment which doesn't last long.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is an instability that will never lead someone anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? You want to carry on what you're doing till the end, even though at times the motivation level might be low.
Thank you so much, Brother McDodd. So, dear audience, please stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
Please, stop! I got
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents.
Yeah.
Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your audience. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. Brother Miqdad mentioned the importance of contentment and perseverance. So Brother Miqdad, please continue.
Now, having said all of that, obviously, definitely, if something has happened that is worth looking into, then definitely don't force a child to go. Mm-hmm. We need to look at it from a more holistic picture as well. Yep. If there is a particular incident that has happened that has led a child to, for example, feel really down or affecting his self-confidence or self-respect. Basically, finding out the real cause of what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's simply, as was mentioned in the question, if it's simply a lack of motivation that is just a normal part of the human behavior, that ups and downs, basically, then this is where we were talking about.
So, Brother Mada, let me ask you a question. That can the children take a day off, like, you know, not going to gymnastics and see, like, what it might lead to?
It's advisable not to, because it's the easier way out to actually drop it completely then, right? So you have a day off once and then twice, and then it's much easier to quit at that point. So no, if there is no obstacles or no concerns, then don't even take a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Just let's go with it, basically. Give as much support as you can. Pack more chocolates in the snack in for the breaks, for example. Drop them yourself. Give them as much boost and energy as we can, but keep at it, even in low motivation period. The moment you take a break one day, it's like, fine, today you don't have to go, and then tomorrow you have to go, and then it's a downhill slope, basically, and then it's just going to go towards canceling again. So don't allow that giving up feeling to come. We're at it, we're going towards all the way to it, even if we don't enjoy it so much for now. It's still just 1 hour a session. Let's just bear it, inshallah. It will give us reward. Carry on. Focus on this, what we talked about in the previous show as well. This sense of achievement is very important. One of the motivation that we want to focus on even more than fun is the sense of achievement. So if you are going to, for example, encourage your children, then focus on fun for sure, on being with friends, on the benefits, etc. But also work on this attention towards the sense of achievement that child has. So ask them to, for example, show you the moves that they learned. Ask them how they were before they went to gymnastics, or the first few weeks of gymnastics, and now, and realize how much they've progressed and how they've achieved quite a lot. On that note, don't create expectations that are more than they can actually bear. Sometimes, you know, perhaps not in gymnastics, because I don't know the people that are in gymnastics, but in football, we do that sometimes. You send a child to a football class, and you probably have the impression that you're going to be the next Messi or the next Ronaldo, basically, right? Creating expectations that are greater than the child can bear. And this actually leads to a negative impact on the child, affects self-confidence as well. That obviously, I can't achieve that much, and my parents want me to be that at that level.
So like this type of extreme motivation.
Exactly, yeah. So we keep that expectation, even in gymnastics, so you keep that expectation to that which they can. Right? So the achievement, the sense of achievement is really felt. I expected this from you, and you managed to do it, or if not, you've managed to even greater than what I expected.
Thanks so much, Brother Miqdad, and your audience will be right back after a short break. Do not go anywhere.
Imam Kadhim alayhi salam said, "It is a recommended practice for a child to play in his childhood, so that he becomes patient in his adulthood."
Ya Muqiyal Khairat, Ya Muqiyal.
Welcome back, dear audience. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. And we're discussing how to keep our children motivated and how we shouldn't have higher expectations from our children, which can lead to their demotivation. So, Brother Maghda, if you don't mind, I want to ask a question. Like, so in all this situation, what's the role of the gymnastics center itself? Like, what can they do to keep the children motivated?
So, the gymnastics centers, there's a lot of things that they can do, obviously. So, one of them is, depending on the age of the child, we talk about 7 to 5 year olds over here, right? So, one of them is fun. As we said, fun is one of the motivations. So, keep the fun going. When you do gymnastics, there's different ways to do gymnastics. I mean, I'm sure that the coaches and the trainers know better than I do.
Yeah.
You come up with activities, you come up with games, that are gymnastics-related games, obviously, but that involve fun, gentle competitions, involve laughter sometimes as well. The more fun there is, the more the motivation always remains. If it's a matter, and you learn this in coaching, any sports coaching, basically, that you always have games that are alternating, basically. You'd always change what you do.
Yeah.
If you keep it monotonous, that you have to do the same warm-up all over again, you have to do the same stretch-up all over again, you have to do the same moves all over again, it becomes quite boring, and especially for five-year-olds, that they keep doing the same thing. Repetitive movement is actually quite boring, right? You want to create different activities, be inventive in how we do things, even in sports. And this actually keeps up the motivation level.
They should have the feeling that they're learning something new.
So the second one is that there should be a sense of success, a sense of winning, a sense of growth, and as you mentioned, a sense of I'm learning something new. And this is where the teacher and the coach, the trainer needs to actually highlight this, that today we're going to be learning something new. Yeah. And at the end of the session, today we learned something new. This was very good. Yeah. And when you approach individual children, you show them and appreciate that they've actually gained quite a lot since the last session. Yeah. Last session, you couldn't do this. Now you can do this. Last session, you could only do 10 of these.
Yeah.
Now you're able to do 15 of those. There's actually a growth. The child feels a sense of growth, a sense of achievement.
Yeah,
and this actually is a very good motivation. He goes home and that's the first thing he tells his parents, right? That last week I couldn't do this. This week I managed to do this. Another thing that gymnastics can do is to create a lot of team building, right? Children, one of the things that they really enjoy is working together with friends. Now, on the side of the parents, it's good if you manage to send your children with their own friends. But most times, if that's not possible, then it's for the children to find friends in the gymnastics. If they feel very lonely, if they feel that they haven't built any connection, any relationship with any peers out there, then they'll feel demotivated. So one of the ways to keep motivation between for children is to create a bond between them, friendship. And this happens through working teams, working together, activities that involve teamwork. Now, I know in gymnastics, it's not always the case because gymnastics is not kind of a team sport, obviously. But you can still do, in order to practice the different moves that are out there, you can still do a lot of team activities.
You should still have a good company at these.
Exactly. If you have good company, then the motivation remains, basically. Being lonely or feeling isolated is things that actually demotivates a child from attending to these sessions. Lastly, and we'll talk about this possibly in the next show as well, is ensure that those negative factors are not involved and not play a role in gymnastics. Things like too much criticism, things that affect the child's confidence. These things obviously will then lead to a lack of motivation, which inshallah we can talk about in the next session.
Okay, so thank you so much, Brother Maghdad, and your audience. We'll see you in the next show. And thank you so much for joining us on the program. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Until the next program, fi amanullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way. Thank you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on prophetic remarks of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I am from the brightness of Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, knowing all past and future events till the day of judgment.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hello and welcome back to The Light. Taking care of one's dental health is an absolute must, no matter humans or animals. A 14-year-old Siberian tiger has undergone a dental operation in a French zoo. The dentist took good care of the animal and even administered eye drops so that his eyes would not go dry during the procedure. Baikal broke his fangs 7 years ago while playing around, prompting the zoo owners to have her tooth revitalized and filled. The operation was successful, and the playful cat is now enjoying a brand new fang.
Now, while the world has been riveted by the adventure of NASA's Mars rover, a group of Swiss school children has been eagerly preparing their own mission to the Red Planet. The children have simulated a mission to Mars with the help of some space experts, including Switzerland's sole astronaut, Claude Nicoya. Their rocket is actually a bus with images of astronauts astride a spaceship. And their destination? Well, a Mars space station, conveniently situated, that is, in a secluded wooded area on the outskirts of Lausanne. In a bid to simulate a true space mission, all the children's meals consist of freeze-dried food and are put in an environment they don't know. The school principal says the experiment is aimed at validating what the students have learnt, including maths and science. Now, a volcano near Iceland's Reykjanes Peninsula erupts after being inactive for almost 900 years. The Icelandic Meteorological Office says the eruption was anticipated, though, following thousands of smaller earthquakes in the area in recent weeks. The office says the eruption posed no immediate danger to local people or to critical infrastructure. This comes over a decade after the eruption of another volcano in Iceland disrupted some 900,000 flights across Europe and forced hundreds of Icelanders to flee their homes.
March 22nd is a very important day but many of us may not be aware of that. The 60-meter picture shows an Ethiopian girl carrying water. That was created ahead of the World Water Day, the international occasion falling on March 22nd. A group of artists made the landmark in northern England to raise awareness about climate change and the global water crisis.
Interspersed in the drawing is like a cracked turf to symbolise the drought that climate change will cause. And then the metaphor, if you like, is that the sea is coming in, the rising tide is the rising sea levels that we're going to face in the future.
The artwork was made in collaboration with WaterAid. That's an international NGO focusing on water, sanitation and hygiene. The project supervisors say the main goal is to raise awareness about the importance of water in children's lives. They say they also want to raise attention that how climate change is affecting people's access to water.
It must be exciting to be to experience a real-world version of a game. Let's go to Japan to see what it's like to be Mario. Fans of the classic Super Mario games are delighted as Nintendo's first-ever theme park has opened in the western city of Osaka. Visitors can gather virtual coins and defeat villains while exploring the park with a smart wristband. One of the park's main draws is a Mario Kart ride around the castle of Mario's enemy, Bowser.
We perfectly recreated the world of the game. You can feel what it's like to be inside of the game and enjoy the life-sized world. You'll find piranha plants and you'll see what it is like to be Mario.
Visitors can also meet life-size characters from the Mushroom Kingdom and grab a bite in Mario-themed restaurants. The attraction is part of the Universal Studios Japan Amusement Park. Its opening was delayed repeatedly from last summer due to the coronavirus pandemic. A Crimean powerlifter has set a Russian record for pulling a giant airplane. The powerlifter managed to pull an amphibian aircraft weighing 31.5 tons. He did so over the distance of more than a meter at a military base near the city of Sevastopol. The strongman suffered serious injuries during the first attempt on Tuesday when he pulled the plane for 31 centimeters. With the fourth attempt later in the day, he pulled it to 1 meter and 12 centimeters in just 40 seconds. The record was confirmed by representatives of the Record Book of Russia.
An archaeological team has discovered new ruins in Egypt. The discovery reveals a monastic life in the country's western deserts in the 5th century. The Egyptian Antiquities Ministry says the discoveries include ruins of three churches with graffiti and symbols on walls. It says the religious inscriptions and the Greek biblical passages prove the nature of life at that time. The mission was carried out by a group of French-Norwegian archaeologists. The find offers better understanding of the development of buildings and the formation of the first monastic communities. In recent months, Egypt has announced several major archaeological discoveries, hoping to revitalize its tourism industry. School children from Spain and Portugal have been learning how to combine sports with science. They have now put their knowledge and skills to the test by racing their electric cars. The contest was held between nine teams outside Athletic Bilbao's San Mamés Stadium. However, the goal wasn't to see who could drive the fastest. Rather, the strategy was to use their battery power as efficiently as possible. The team that completed as many laps as possible in 90 minutes was declared the winner. Driving the car too fast could quickly drain the batteries.
Apart from being fun and interesting, you can learn mechanics, electrics, and then you can compete. You learn things from the realm of engineering, more things for the future. I usually say that the electric car is the future, but others will make hybrids in order to maintain speed and design and the engine type.
The cars are powered by twin lead-acid batteries that supply 24 volts to a 240-watt electric motor. The teams don't have to build their cars from scratch because a basic kit is supplied to them. However, they have to modify the vehicle mechanically, electrically, and aerodynamically. The project started in the UK in the 1990s. It seeks to raise awareness in young people about alternative energy sources, climate change, and pollution issues. Let's go to the US, where a baby giraffe has explored his habitat at the Indianapolis Zoo for the first time. In a sunny day, Candy playfully made his first public appearance along with his mother and the herd. The cute calf was born in November and has no siblings yet. Giraffes are native to sub-Saharan Africa, so the zookeepers only allow them to be outside when the weather is not wet or cold. Two tiny islands in South Korea have become tourist attractions by turning almost everything to purple. They are now known as Purple Islands. Banwol and Bakji Islands used to be abandoned locations with small populations of elderly people. But everything changed when residents launched a popular campaign there in 2015. Inspired by their native balloon flower, they started painting the houses, roads and bridges in different shades of purple. They planted more purple flowers on the islands and wore clothes with the same color. Restaurants on the islands also started serving purple food.
We couldn't travel overseas due to COVID-19, so we thought about a local trip instead and found these purple islands. It's amazing and looks like fairy tales and magic. As I'm seeing, the grandmas are all wearing purple clothes. It is very dreamy.
The tourists also praise the welcoming spirit of the islands, who offer a free entry to the visitors dressed in purple. The campaign has changed the island's ambience, adding liveliness and activity to the routine of its residents. It's also attracted the government support, which has invested more than $4 million to turn the islands purple. World-renowned musician Yo-Yo Ma has transferred a COVID-19 vaccine waiting room to a concert hall in the U.S. city of Pittsburgh. Played the pieces after receiving his second dose of the coronavirus jab. Dozens of socially distanced people who had just received their second shot listened on at the Berkshire Community College while waiting for the 15-minute mandatory observation period to end. Yo-Yo Ma, who is a local resident, has said his performance was meant to give something back to the community.
Rations in the town of Yaryapolsky mark the end of winter with a colorful Maslenitsa celebration. People dressed in costumes march in the center of the town, which lies some 170 kilometers from Moscow. After some friendly competitions, participants burn the effigy of Maslenitsa. This marks the end of winter and was believed to fertilize the soil and bring a good harvest in the upcoming autumn.
The Maslenitsa went great. We have been sitting at home for a long time because of this COVID, but now everything is fine.
Maslenitsa is celebrated during the last week before the Christian festival of Lent. It is a last chance to the upcoming weeks to eat dairies and meat, which are forbidden in the upcoming fasting time. The festival began as a pagan ritual, but was later absorbed into the Russian Orthodox Christian tradition. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
بالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of today's special, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on the commemoration of Nowruz. That's the Iranian New Year. Today, Monday, is the 8th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Farvardin, the 14th hundredth of Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless this program by recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds.
الرحمن الرحيم.
The entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
مالك يوم الدين.
Sovereign of the day of recompense.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين.
It is you we worship and you we ask for help.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
Guide us to the straight path.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
The path of those upon whom you have bestowed favor, not of those who have evoked your anger or of those who are astray.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It is narrated from Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, that all secrets of Allah are in divine books, and the contents of all those divine books are comprised in the Holy Quran. And what is found in the Quran is condensed in Surah Al-Fatiha. And what is in Al-Fatiha is gathered in Bismillah. And what is in Bismillah is concentrated in B, the first letter of Bismillah. Based on the entirely of great commentators' statements, it is understood that this tradition indicates clearly the importance of both the Holy Quran and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in which science and knowledge from the beginning to the end is comprised. Nowruz, the origins. Although there are people who believe the Prophet Zartosht or Zoroastria to be the inventor of this celebration, the mostly accepted legend regarding the origins of Nowruz, which is also recorded in Shahnameh by the great Iranian epic poet Ferdowsi, is the story of Iranian mythical king Jam, later to be famous by the name of Jamshid, a name he got from this moment in his life, the invention of Nowruz. The story tells us about King Jam passing through Azerbaijan, and he decided to stay the cold night. On the morning of the 21st of March, he woke up and set forth to sit on his throne, Takht-e Jamshid, which gave its name later to Persepolis. While he put his crown on and sat on his throne, the sun rose and shone, and its reflection on Jam's crown lighted and warmed up the world. People came out to the bright sun and warmer weather and started happily congratulating each other for a new beginning and welcome spring. From that unknown time, on this day has been celebrated as Nowruz, the new day. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about Nowruz. We find that the Nowruz culture and the Nowruz territory, I mean, the countries and the nations that celebrate Nowruz are not limited just to Persians. We find that in many other countries, such as, for example, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, Turkey, India, in Azerbaijan, in Turkmenistan, in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and other Middle Eastern cultures, Nowruz is highly celebrated. And we find that from this perspective, it's the day for communal and congregational prayer for the well-being of all mankind. Please note carefully that at the time of the turn of the new year, and the coming of the new year, there are certain prayers, I mean, certain supplications or certain prayers to be recited, and pious Muslims practice saying so, and offering those prayers to God, to Allah. Moreover, that Persians and Iranians celebrate Nowruz in sacred places, in religious spaces, it shows that this is highly associated with, Nowruz is highly associated with the religious values, moral values. We find that on the day of Nowruz, people wear the neat and clean clothes, and visit each other, respect the elders, and try to be kind to everybody.
O Allah, the new year has begun. You are the eternal master. I ask you to make available to me its good and benefits, which are in it. I seek refuge with you from its evil and the disadvantages which are in it. I request you to let me procure the provisions I need and discharge the activities I take up in this year.
In Islam, Nowruz in the Safavid period adopted as Islamic pattern, so separating its ancient Iranian roots from its Islamic traditions would have been extremely difficult. Nowruz had certain grandeur in Abbasid and Safavid courts, and Islam perfumed the great celebration of Nowruz with its Islamic traditions. In addition, the most symbolic rituals of Nowruz, which is the preparation of 7S, has both ancient and Islamic roots. Allama Majlisi, the great scholar in regards to the importance of number 7 days. The heaven and earth each have 7 levels, and each level is guarded by an angel. The holiness of the new year moments in the eyes of the people is so colorful and real that they make pilgrimage to holy shrines of imams and their families. For example, in Iran, people go to Shiraz for Shah Chiragh, may Allah keep his soul in peace, or to Mashhad for Imam Reza alayhi salam, to Qom for Lady Masum alayhi salam, peace be upon her, and to Sidi of Ray for Shah Abdul Azim. Nowruz customs. Another custom held widely before Nowruz happens on the last Thursday of the year, in which Iranians visit the graves of their gone loved ones and bring flowers and seeds for the birds who have immigrated for the warmer weather. At the time of Nowruz, everywhere is filled with flowers to welcome renewal of nature and the beauty of spring. The celebration of Nowruz nowadays lasts for 13 days. During these 13 days periods, Iranians visit each other's houses and spend quality time together. On the moment of Nowruz and also during these family visits, Iranians believe that people should not only clean their houses, but to wear new and clean clothes.
The most prominent symbol of Nowruz is called the Hafsin table, and Iranians put extra care to decorate it. Hafsin in Farsi means the seven S's. It has 7 items that start with the letter S, and each item represents an important symbol of life. Perhaps the most important element is sabza, which is wheat or lentil sprouts grown in a dish. It is a symbol of rebirth. Sib or apple is a symbol of beauty and health. Sir or garlic is a symbol of medicine. Serke or vinegar is a symbol of age and patience. Shumak is the symbol of the color of sunrise. Senjed or silverberry is the symbol of love. And finally, samanu, which is a sweet pudding, is a symbol of affluence. A Hafsin table usually includes a holy or well-known poetry book, a mirror, coins, decorated eggs, lit candles, a bowl of water with goldfish, and dried nuts. All in all, Hafsin tables are usually decorated elegantly and are very colorful. Iranians start the celebration of Nowruz at the time of the spring equinox, or the first day of spring, which is around March 21st. This is the time of the year that sunlight is evenly divided between the north and south hemispheres.
Dear brothers and sisters, in Iran we are in Nowruz time, the new year, the celebration of new year. So every day be with us, be with today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another episode of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Sadi al-Qur'an.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.